15 months later, Joanna reappears. Having gone through a therapy, she has overcome her sense of failure. She has now a good job and wants to live a fuller life. She wants the custody of Billy. Ted angrily refuses her request and engages a lawyer to fight the case in court. To add to his trouble, he loses his job just at this time because of his neglect of work on account of his parental duties. He is told by his lawyer that without a job, he has no chance of keeping the custody of his son. To keep Billy at any cost, he takes up a much lower paid job, though his new boss tells him that with his qualifications and talents, he could get a much better job if he waited a little longer. But he cannot afford to wait. In court, ugly charges are brought up by the two lawyers to prove the unfitness of the opposite party as an unfit parent. Ted is described as a man who cannot keep his job and as a very negligent father. Joanna is described as a very irresponsible and unstable woman who needed therapy treatment. But in the end, Joanna is awarded the custody of the boy. Feeling lost, bewildered, and miserable, Ted makes preparations to hand over his son. Billy, too, has come to love his father and feels just as sad and bewildered at the prospect of leaving his father. Finally, at the fatal hour, Joanna turns up, not to take Billy away, but to announce her decision to give up her claim to the custody of her son. She has come to realize how much father and son now mean to each other, and she has no heart to upset their lives again. In sorrow and in tears, all she asks for is a last meeting with her son before she goes out of their lives forever.
3. Problems arising from living apart. The Chinese household registration system forbids permanent dwelling without legal registration with the local public security units. Yet many people leave their hometowns, bringing with them their residence cards, to get further education or to join the army, or because they are transferred to jobs in other places. The separation of married couples thereby occurs, and it has become a growing concern in China for the various problems it causes. Separation can lead to family crisis or divorce. Just as a society as a whole requires solidity, a family demands unity and stability. But this is exactly what separated couples lack, as well as the happiness that comes from living together. As a result, some couples end up permanently separated and divorced, as emotional ties between husband and wife erode. The damage is not confined to the couples alone. The absence of normal family life can leave the children ill-educated and the aged uncared for, which can contribute to the instability of the whole society. For those living apart, an estimation of 6 million, the government grants 1 month paid home leave every year to one spouse. This equals more than 10 million lost work days, the equivalent of 300,000 people not working at all each year. In addition to the travel expenses, this costs the government a total of 2.2 billion yuan a year. Moreover, these travelers add to congestion in the already overloaded public transportation system. To end the misery of living apart, some couples seek solutions by backdoor means, by inviting officials to parties or presenting them with gifts. While some succeed, most couples meet with frustration. Of the ones who succeed, some fail to find new jobs that match their skills and specialities. Unremitting efforts have been made by the government to ease the problems arising from living apart. Yet, they cannot be solved completely. There are several reasons for this. One obstacle involves job transfers. Most work units are unwilling to accept administrative personnel, and they do not wish to hand over the valuable members of their staff to other units. In addition, most separated spouses who live in large cities dislike moving to small cities or to the countryside, and southerners do not want to go to the north. For another thing, some enterprises have become highly money-orientated, demanding steep compensation for training fees from those who want to quit their jobs. In 1988, 300 to 700 yuan was demanded, but this fee has risen to 1,000 to 7,000 yuan this year. Similarly, the fee for those who apply for a new post grew from between 1,000 and 5,000 yuan last year to between 7,000 and 13,000 yuan early this year, and in some large cities, the fee runs as high as 40,000 yuan. Job mobility should be encouraged, and special consultations should be held for the purpose of exchanging employees in different parts of the country. Meanwhile, granting job transfers should not be treated as a good profit-making deal, and people who offer or accept bribes should be penalized.
Lesson 27. Is the prospect of growing old a bleak one? Text. The prospect of growing old is horrifying. My father has an organic brain disease. It's Parkinson's disease. And in his case, it has led to the additional trauma of Parkinsonian dementia. He is in and out of reality. At times, he is as clever as can be, until he sees snakes or space stations or trucks in his room. My mother and I together could no longer handle him at home. He required physical assistance for every move, and his behavior became too unpredictable. At home, he never slept, and neither did we. He also suffers from a narrowing of his spinal column, which pinches the nerves in his back and leaves him unable to find a painless position in bed. We brought him to the hospital, where he stayed for 7 weeks, until its utilization review board decided he no longer needed hospital care. They kicked him out. We put him in a nursing home, recommended as top of the line, with one nursing aide for every 15 patients, if everyone shows up for work. My father cannot feed himself, nor get to and from the bathroom. One nurse's aide with 15 patients cannot attend to his needs. So my mother spends 7 to 8 hours each day at the nursing home. My father cries, yells, and does all he knows to keep her there. He thinks he is home, and can't understand why she leaves him each evening. He thinks she has other men. He tells her she is boring a hole in his heart. She cries. The nursing home costs $45,000 per year. My father is lucky. Unlike most Americans, he has a decent union pension. But his pension, added to his Social Security payment, puts him over the income eligibility level for Medicaid in Florida. Not only is he disqualified from receiving Medicaid itself, his insurance only pays for claims certified by Medicaid. None of the diseases afflicting my father are fatal. He is 69 years old, and both his parents lived to be 90. My family could be spending $45,000 a year for the next 20 years. It's money we don't have. My mother is heartsick. They worked and saved and bought insurance all their lives so that they could grow old in peace. Now she doesn't know how she will live, let alone how to take care of him. A lawyer suggested to my mother that she divorce my father. Yet she is the one who feeds him, cleans him, and loves him. Now, after 48 years of marriage, she is being counseled to divorce him so she can keep some funds back from the nursing home. We think about cancelling his pension, but then neither of them would have any income.
Two. Read. Read the following passages. Underline the important viewpoints while reading. 1. About old age. Professor McKay, can you tell me what you think your report on old people will achieve?
We hope that it will help to change people's feelings about old age. The problem is that far too many of us believe that most old people are poor, sick, lonely, and unhappy. As a result, we tend to find old people, as a group, unattractive. And this is very dangerous for our society.
But surely we cannot escape the fact that many old people are lonely and many are sick.
No, we can't. But we must also remember that the proportion of such people is no greater among the 60 to 70 age group than among the 50 to 60 age group.
In other words, there is no more mental illness, for example, among the 60s to 70s than among the 50s to 60s.
Right. And why should there be? Why should we expect people to suddenly change when they reach their 60th or 65th birthday, any more than they did when they reached their 21st? Now that the computer age has arrived in industry, the normal age for retirement may be lowered to 60 or even 55. Shall we then say that old age begins at 55?
But one would expect there to be more physical illness among old people, surely.
Why should one expect this? After all, those people who reach the age of 65 or 70 are the strong among us. The weak die mainly in childhood, then in their 40s and 50s. Furthermore, by the time people reach 60 or 65, they have learnt how to look after themselves. They keep warm, sleep regular hours, and eat sensibly. Of course, some old people do suffer from physical illnesses, but these do not suddenly develop on their 65th birthday. People who are healthy in middle age tend to be healthy in old age, just as one would expect.
Are people's mental abilities affected by old age?
Certain changes do take place as we grow older, but this happens throughout life. These changes are very gradual and happen at different times with different people. But, in general, if you know a person well in his middle age and have seen how he deals with events and problems, you will easily recognize him in old age.
So that someone who enjoys new experiences, travel, education, and so on, in his middle years, will usually continue to do so into old age.
Exactly. We have carried out some very interesting experiments in which a group of people aged 60 to 70 and a group aged 30 to 40 had to learn the same things. For example, in one experiment, they began learning a new language. In another, they learned how to use three machines in order to make a piece of furniture. The first thing we discovered was that the young group tended to be quicker at learning than the old group. However, although the old group took longer to learn, eventually they performed as well as the young group. And when we tested the two groups several weeks later, there was again no difference between the two groups.
That's very interesting indeed. What else did your experiments show?
Well, one group of old people agreed to attend evening classes for a year to study English and mathematics. In fact, most of this group became so interested in their studies that they continued them for another year. Anyway, we discovered that they did best in the English classes, and that most of them steadily improved their ability to communicate in both the written and the spoken language. This didn't really surprise us, because other studies have had similar results. And, of course, you can think of a dozen writers who continued working almost to the day they died.
What about the group who studied mathematics?
Well, that's a different story. There seems to be no doubt that people find maths more difficult as they grow older. Though why this is so, I cannot say.
Perhaps cheap pocket computers will solve this problem.
I think you're right. In fact, I'm sure that you are.
2. The oldest people in the world. Thousands of people in the world are 100 years old, or more. There are about 2,000 centenarians in Britain alone, and certain parts of the world are famous for the long lives of their inhabitants. Georgia in the Soviet Union, the Vilcabamba Valley in Ecuador, and the home of the Hunzas in the Himalayas. But the oldest person in the world is Japanese. In 1983, Mr. Shigechiyo Izumi, aged 118, held first place in the Guinness Book of Records. He was born on June 29, 1865, and beat the previous record on his 114th birthday. Before Mr. Izumi broke the record, the longest life was that of an American woman, Mrs. Evelyn Filkins. She lived for 113 years, 214 days, from 1815 to 1928. During her lifetime, She saw the invention of the first camera, the first telephone, the first car, the first aeroplane, and the first television. There are official papers to prove the date of birth of Mr. Izumi and Mrs. Filkins, but many other people claim to be as old or older.
3. The secret of a long life. Why do so many people live to a healthy old age in certain parts of the world? What is the secret of their long lives? 3 things seem to be very important. Fresh air, fresh food, and a simple way of life. People work near their homes in the clean mountain air, instead of traveling long distances to work by bus, car, or train. They do not sit all day in busy offices or factories, but work hard outdoors in the fields. They take more exercise and eat less food than people in the cities of the West. For years, the Hunzas of the Himalayas did not need policemen, lawyers, or doctors. There was no crime, no divorce, and not much illness in their society. They were a happy, peaceful people, famous all over India for their long, healthy lives.
4. How long will you live? Do you want to live to be 100? Here are some rules for success. First, choose your parents and grandparents carefully. If they lived to a good old age, so will you. Secondly, live in the right place. If you were not born in Georgia or Ecuador, there are other healthy places in the world, like East Anglia in Britain. Thirdly, choose the right kind of job. Doctors, dentists, and bus drivers die young. Farmers, priests, and orchestral conductors live much longer. If you are in the wrong kind of job, you can still improve your way of life. An old man in the Caucasus was talking about his past life. "I was young then," he said, as he described his 87th year. His secret and his advice was, think young and stay young. An old woman from Missouri, USA, gives this advice. Drink a little whiskey and some warm beer every day. An English lady centenarian just said, take a cold bath every morning. On her 102nd birthday, Miss Julia Thompson explained the secret of her long and happy life. Never have anything to do with men, she said. The shortest, simplest piece of advice came from Mr. Jim Chapman, aged 103. Just keep breathing, he told reporters. What about Mr. Izumi? I watch TV, he said, and I never worry. But do you really want to be 100? What's wrong with the old saying, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die?
5. Colleges for old people blooming. China has set up 916 colleges for senior citizens, educating about 200,000 people in the past 5 years. The colleges offer more than 60 courses ranging from calligraphy, painting and gardening, to qigong, massage, and foreign languages. The students are mainly retired government functionaries, but according to an official from the Association of Colleges for the Elderly, The colleges are trying to serve senior citizens from the whole of society. Some institutions are already giving courses in gardening, crop planting, and animal husbandry to old people from the countryside. According to a poll conducted by the Harbin Senior Citizens College in China's northeastern province of Heilongjiang, of its first 200 graduates, 71% had recovered from chronic diseases since their registration, and 85% were very confident that they will live longer. Many of the students are again working for the society instead of being just consumers. During each semester, about 60% of the students of the college serve society while studying.
6. The fulfillment of one's dreams. It's only natural to look forward to something better. We do it all our lives. Things may never really improve, but at least we always hope they will. It is one of life's great ironies that the longer we live, the less there is to look forward to. Retirement may bring with it the fulfillment of a lifetime's dreams. At last, there will be time to do all the things we never had time for. From then on, the dream fades. Unless circumstances are exceptional, the prospect of growing really old is horrifying. Who wants to live long enough to become a doddering wreck? Who wants to revert to that most dreaded of all human conditions, a second childhood?